list of icebreakers to never do, right? I'm looking around, I was like, man, I don't want to be the guy on stage having 140 people looking at me, mad dogging me, because that's what it looks like every time I preach anyways. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, it's great to be with you guys tonight. My name's Pastor Luke. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. I'm excited because I'm kind of like a guest speaker now. And the reason I say that I'm kind of like a guest speaker is, you know, Shift is 13 years old this year, and myself with my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, Pastor Jess and Pastor Joe, we all came from Bible college with a vision in our heart 13 years ago as soon as we graduated Bible college, that we wanted to reach young people. There wasn't anything out here in the Inland Empire for young people. There was like four clubs across the street, but nothing for Christians. And so we said, let's start a service for young adults. The very first time we started Shift, get this, man, it's crazy. We started it at 9 o'clock at night on a Friday. And people showed up, and then we would roll till like 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Now I'm an old fogey, I got kids, I got gray hairs coming in, and it's like, forget that 2:33 in the morning, we got to roll this thing at 7 o'clock and be done at 8:30 so I can go home and get to bed, because I'm old. You're like, Pastor Luke, man, I'm just starting to wake up at midnight, I know. That's why you guys like to hang out. But it's an honor, it's a privilege to be able to do what we do. But over the past couple of years, you know, I've transitioned into different positions at the church. And the time has come for me to start transitioning myself out of my favorite time of the week. And that's a Friday night in the young adult service. And so, I told Pastor Joe a couple of months ago, I says, listen, man, you know, you've got this. You've got the reins. Isn't Pastor Joe doing a good job? Don't you appreciate Pastor Joe? And so I just kind of told him, I says, you know, in order for me to be able to do this, I got to kind of disconnect a little bit because this is my baby. Y'all are my baby. I mean, this is my time when I show up and I have fun. And if I keep coming, I'll never let it go. So I told him I had to back off for a little bit. So it's been a long time. It's been actually since April, since the last time I preached. So I'm like a guest speaker to y'all. Man, I didn't get a green room though. I told you I wanted a green room. And I told you I wanted my green M&Ms, but they didn't give me my green M&Ms either. That's like the writer joke. So anyways, I'm excited to continue the series, the message of Gone Fishing, and I'll talk a little bit about that. I was thinking about it. I went back and listened to Pastor Joey's message on July 3rd about Gone Fishing as he started it. Pastor Joe really kind of gave us the motivation to get out there, to teach us, you know what, man, this isn't just something that, you know, Christians should do. This isn't just something that, you know, okay, it'd be cool for us to get out there and to witness to somebody, to tell somebody about our faith. This is something that every person must do. It's our motivation. And last week when Beth came, she gave us some inspiration, some reasons as to why we got to do this and some reasons that we can overcome why we would not go fishing or, so to say, to evangelize or to tell somebody about our faith. And the series there is the verse that was on the overhead there, Matthew chapter 4. Jesus, as he's coming off the mount after being tempted in the wilderness there, he comes out of the wilderness and there he sees some disciples or some apostles. Excuse me, there'll be a disciples and apostles. You see some fishermen tending to their nets, and he walks by, and I think the story is a little bit more involved than what we see from Matthew, the fourth chapter, because John gives us a little bit more insight, that Peter's brother Andrew was actually a disciple of John the Baptist. So he knew about Messiah. He was on the Messiah research and finding committee. That was Andrew, Peter's brother's job, to find the Messiah. So Jesus comes, and all of a sudden he's leaning over, elbowing Peter, and he's like, man, this is the guy that John the Baptist has been talking about. And all of a sudden, Jesus talks to them. He's like, you talking to me? You talking to me? And he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I really love how Jesus did that. You know, he took them where they were at. And Beth talked about that. You know, I mean, you know, the ultimate goal for a young Jewish boy in this day and age was to grow up and to have a rabbi or to have a leader that would tell you, follow me. And that was like the pinnacle of a career choice, is to be a rabbi. And so this is such a privilege for Jesus to come to some fishermen and tell them to follow me. But I love how he relates to them where they're at. And he says, you are fishermen, but I will make you fishers of men, which I will teach you, I will show you, I will disciple you to how to get out there to change the world around you. And you know, from these 12 men were the 11 men that made it through, because Judas was the traitor. Because of these 12 men, the world was literally flipped upside down. And 2,000 years later, here we are today, following Jesus Christ and reading the words of his disciples that were there on that boat, John and Peter, that were fishers of men. And to see Jesus' plan come to pass in their lives is so amazing. So today I thought what I would do, since Joey brought the motivation, Beth brought the inspiration, is I'm just downright boring. I'll give you the information, all right? I'm going to give you a little bit of info about fishing. Why? Because I personally want to live the ultimate example of a Christian. Jesus said, be like me. So you know what? I chose all of Jesus' hobbies. All right? I like to fish. All right, that should have gone over better, but that, all right, whatever. I like to go fishing, all right? Jesus was a carpenter, so I do a little bit of woodworking, all right? Jesus climbed the mount on the Mount of Transfiguration, so I like to get into a little bit of rock climbing, all right? And then Jesus went into the wilderness, so I like to go backpacking, okay? I like to do everything that Jesus did. Oh, my goodness. You guys, man, you're killing me. No, all right, but literally, my number one, Pastor Joey asked a couple of you guys on Friday, the July 3rd message when Pastor Joe taught. How many guys have been fishing? How many guys have ever been fishing before? How many of you guys like to fish? Has anybody ever, you've been fishing, but you still fish? Like, if you ever had the opportunity to go, okay. See, fishing to me, over the years of my life, I hobby hopped. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hobby hop, you're doing something new every week? Amen. Hallelujah. It was so much fun. I've gotten to the point now in my life where I realize I can't financially sustain hobby hopping, okay? I can't buy a mountain bike one week and I can't buy a car another week. I got to pick something and stay with it. So I told my wife that I had to prioritize everything in my life. And to me, in my priority, fishing is my number one. Fishing is something that my grandfather passed down to me, that my daddy taught me how to do it when I was a little boy. And then when I went up to Washington to meet my grandfather, who lived in the Eastern Sierras almost all of their lives, he told me about fly fishing. And I'm a country bumpkin. You know what a country bumpkin is? Does anybody know what a country bumpkin is? That's a nice way of saying, I'm sorry if it offends you, that's a nice way of saying I'm a hick, okay? I was born up in the mountain communities. I grew up in Yucaipa when Yucaipa was not cool, all right? Like, before, like, Chapman Heights and before all of that stuff, Yucaipa was a bunch of orange groves and chicken ranches, all right? I lived on a street that had three chicken ranches on that street. I had horses. I had cats. I had all sorts of animals. I was a country bumpkin. Yeah, man, cats are, yeah, anyways. That's a wild beast right there, all right? I was a country bumpkin, and so because of that, I like to do the country bumpkin kind of stuff. So for me, fishing is my number one. So what I thought I would do is, since Jesus related to the fishermen on their level, he says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He was relating to them on the level that they were at. I thought, you know what, why don't I take some information and take some time and just maybe go over some lessons that I have learned over the course of pursuing my most favorite pastime, and that is fishing. I've been doing it for a long time. I put a lot of effort into it. I've spent a lot of time traveling and going for it. So I thought what I would do is I would tell you a little bit about some things that I learned physically fishing, like actual fishing, all right? But then how it relates to fishing for men, because ultimately that's what we're here. You're not here to learn what Pastor Luke learned when he went fishing. That's like the worst story in the world. It's an analogy, so that we'll take one thing from one area and we'll apply it, because there's some similarities and some things that cross over in our life. So I came up with a little phrase that I felt like it rhymed, so that might make it easier to remember. I don't know. You know, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. So I thought I'd just teach you some things about I've learned about when that from fishing. So let's start it off. Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So let's talk about fishing, all right? The very first thing I learned when it came to fishing is you got to go prepared. You got to go prepared, all right? Now, one of the things I like to do, and Michael, my friend, he brought this up here. This is called a float tube, all right? I like to fish, and I like to go fishing sometimes on lakes. But the type of fishing I do, you can't fish from the shore, because you just can't get out there, right? So you got to get out on the lake, and I don't want to haul a boat around, so I got a float tube, and in the float tube, I got a picture, as a matter of fact, they can show that. In the float tube, you sit in this tube in the water, and you got little flippers on your feet, and you just kick around, and you got your little fishing pole, and you catch a fish on the lake, on the water, all right? So I remember a couple of years ago, I was reading a report of a lake up here in our local mountains. I was really excited. I'd never been there before. And my wife, I told her about it. I says, man, everybody says it's going off. I want to go and check it out. I want to go try it. And so I was really excited. We loaded up the car. And she's like, oh, I'm going to take the kids. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to go watch Daddy go fishing. We'll just walk around the lake. And you just go in there and you go fishing. So we drive all the way up into the mountains on the windy mountain roads, all the way into the back country of the lake right there. And we pull up. And I pull out my float tube. And it doesn't come like this, all right? I'll just show you. This is inflatable, right? And the float tube looks like this. Now, if you're watching later on, this is just basically like an inflatable raft, all right? There, it's flat, all right? It's just air So we drove all the way up to the lake, and I go to set everything up. I got my fishing pole. I got my waders on. I got my little flippers on. I got my whole outfit. I'm so excited, right? Because nobody's on the lake. I got it to myself. And I get my float tube out. I'm looking in the car, you know, when you start, like, you know when you realize you don't have something? You start get a little frantic. Where's this at? I know I brought it. So I'm looking in the car. And lo and behold, I forget the one thing I needed to bring. The pump. You see, the valve on this thing, it's not like a pool toy, all right? That's like a 2-inch hole. I can't, right? So I forgot the one thing I needed to. I brought my fishing pole, I brought my fishing hooks, I brought my waders, I brought my booties, I brought everything but the stinking pump. So what happens is I couldn't blow it up. I was really mad. I was really upset. My wife knows I was kicking rocks around. So we had to call it a day. So we just decided, you know what, I'm not going to go fishing. You see, I realized that you can bring everything you want, but if you're not prepared, it's going to ruin the whole experience. And how that relates, or the analogy that brings to you and I, is that so many times when it comes to us and sharing our faith, we're incredibly under or unprepared to share our faith. You see, you got to go prepared. As a matter of fact, Paul tells Timothy, I'll just put it up on the overhead. Paul tells the young pastor, he says, Timothy, listen, man, you got to be ready. You got to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. He says, man, you got to know what's on the inside of you. As a pastor, so many times people come up and they ask me the question, and it was so neat. I heard somebody telling us yesterday this same thing as we think we get it all the time. Pastor Luke, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about what the Bible says? Or what does the Bible say about that? And the first thing it says, well, what, have you read your Bible? No. Well, have you prayed about the subject? No. What did the Holy Spirit tell you about that? Oh, I haven't even prayed yet. You want me to tell you what you should know? That's terrible. That's a horrible way to live. And see, what happens is we want somebody to do all the preparation for us. Well, Pastor Luke, that's why I come to church. I come to church so that you can tell me what I need to do so that I can go out there and tell somebody else what they need to do so they can come and sit in this chair and that they can hear you tell them what they need to do so they can go tell somebody else what they need. That's not it. You're missing the whole point. We're not here. You're not here to listen to me tell you what to do. You're here to get Jesus on the inside of you so that you can get out there and live it for the real world to see so that they say, I want it. But we go underprepared. You see, Jesus told us, we call it the Great Commission. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, most of us, if you've been in church for any point in time, you probably know it. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 19, he says, go! Therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Look what he says in verse number 20, though. He says, teaching them to observe. Teaching them to observe. You see, you've got to know. You know what I tell people all the time? Here's the deal. God has done something for you. You've got to rehearse it. You've got to go over it. What has God done? Because somebody's going to ask you, what has God done for you? Somebody's going to ask you, what are you reading right now? Somebody's going to ask you, what has God been doing in your life? And if you don't know what it is, you're going to go, let me ask my pastor real quick. Let me call you back, all right? Let me text my pastor. Hey, Pastor Luke, what's God done for me lately? But you see, when you've got it on the inside of you, the psalmist David, he said, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, when you internalize it, when you make it yours, when all of a sudden this becomes not just a religion, not just what the pastor or the preacher told me to do, but all of a sudden now I take the time to know it. I take the time to know what God has done. I'll write it down. Listen, write your testimony down. Get it down to 60 seconds. What do you mean, Pastor? I thought I was done with writing when I graduated. No, you just started writing. Write your testimony down. What has God done for you? Write it down. Put it on your mirror. God did this. He did this. He did this. He did this. That way, when somebody comes at you, boom, you know what to say. You know what to do. Listen, I'm an awkward person. I'm so awkward. It's horrible. I'm one of those guys. Some people, like Antonio, is polar opposite of me, and I love him for that. But Tony, he gets in a group of people. He's not intimidated to start talking. He'll just start talking. Man, what's going on? Talking. I'm like the opposite of that. I'm so awkward. I'm like, I don't know what to say. I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is awkward. Somebody should say something, but you didn't say anything. You were supposed, in my head as I rehearsed this conversation, you were supposed to start it. And so I'm kind of sitting there and I'm like, okay, I'm an awkward person. But I can't tell you how many times throughout the course of my life, throughout the course of going through and being a follower of Jesus, of becoming a fisher of men, that somebody's come and said, man, Pastor Luke, you know, what you spoke to me in that moment of crisis, in the moment where my dad died, in the moment where I was in the hospital, in the moment where I was sitting there in that moment, I was crying and you came up to me, what you said to me at that moment was the most inspiring and most motivating thing I've ever heard, and it's kept me in the Word of God. And I'm like, I don't even know what I said. You see, I've taken the time out of my own life, out of my own walk with God, to internalize it, to know that, you know what? Jesus said this, the Word of God says this, that in my own life, you can say this and you can say that about Christianity, but you can never take it away from me. Why? Because I've experienced it. Because I have the Holy Spirit. You see, I'm prepared. Why? Because I don't go out there with my words. It's not about your words. Take the Word. Jesus says, tell them. Teach them what I have taught you. Take the Word and the Holy Spirit and let that speak to the people. But you have the responsibility on your own life to go prepared, to get it in you, to do something about that, to spend some time with the Holy Spirit. God, what would you have me to do? Speak to me today. Pastor Joe was talking about a time when he was at Subway. And he said, you remember the story? He said, before I even finished asking God the question, Lord, do you want me?
Yep.
Prepared. His heart was prepared. So that way, when the opportunity arises, you don't miss it. A couple of weeks ago, I shared the example on a Sunday morning, and I'll give you the more full story. I bought a lady some gas, you know, and I was up, and it was a couple of hours. I'd been driving on the road, and this lady came up, and I bought her some gas. I gave her a card, told her about the church, told her who I was. I told my wife, I called my wife. I was crying because I said I was tired, I was exhausted, I'd been on the road, I wanted to go. And I told her, I said, I should have prayed the sinner's prayer, even if she said she knew who Jesus was. I didn't even ask her if she wanted to pray. I just said I'd pray for her, and I bought her gas. And that's cool, that's great, but you see, on my own heart, I knew I should have gone further, but I was unprepared at that moment. You see, it can happen at just the right moment. Or for you in your life, it can happen at just the wrong moment. Like Beth said, whatever it is that you don't want to use, that's when God says, I'm going to make that so that you use that. That's how I'm going to use you, is the talent or the ability that you don't want to use. And it's at that moment that's inconvenient for you. It's at that moment that you're tired. It's that moment that you're all nasty looking because you just got up. You didn't even brush your teeth, but you went to Starbucks to get a coffee. It's at that moment that God might call upon you. And if you're not ready, you'll miss the opportunity. And ultimately, will somebody hear the message? So we got to go prepared. We got to understand that we have to be prepared for this. The second thing I've learned when it comes to fishing in my own life is you got to cast your cares. Go prepared, cast your cares. You see, in fishing, the type of fishing I do, I fly fish, all right? I started with the hook and the bobber and the lure and all that, and I just didn't like it. I thought it was boring. So I fly fish. My grandpa told me about fly fishing, and this is my fly fishing right now. I'm going to brag a little bit, all right? This is my fly fishing. I made this. I'm legit, right? I mean, I make my own flies. I made my own fly rod. I made my own fishing. I am legit, all right? But that's what I said. This is my number one. I remember when I first started fishing. This is hard. Fly, you maybe even seen that movie, The River Runs Through It, all right, you know? I've seen the movie, Pastor Luke. I know what you're talking about, all right? Listen, when I started fly fishing, it was hard. It was tough. I tried to cast. You know what? I caught more trees than fish for the first 2 years of fly fishing. I caught so many trees, it was ridiculous, all right? But you have a thing, and I remember I started fishing. It's supposed to be looking pretty, and I remember I, like, hit the ground and come and hit the ground. I'm like, why can't I do anything? This is terrible. It didn't look like that on the movie. But you see, after a while, I would go in my backyard, and I'd just practice. And I'd practice the whole 10-2 that you see on the movie and all that stuff. Y'all feel the air? Y'all feel it? Woo, gonna get some whiplash. Almost got you. And I remember there was a time, I got a picture up there. I remember there was a time when my brother-in-law and I, he's my fishing buddy, we got a report. It was in the middle of February. And the report was this river up in the Owens Valley, about 4 hours, 5 hours away from where we live. This river, they said it was just going off. It was going crazy. And these big fish had come out of this lake and they were swimming in this river because it's a cold, cold air. And this river has geothermal springs. And so it kept the water like a perfect temperature for these trout. And so we got in our car. We drove up in the February in the winter Sierras. It was 13 degrees outside. I told you I'm legit, right? It was 13 degrees outside. And my brother-in-law had a friend who was a guide up there, so he knew all the waters. And so we met up with him, and he took us to the spot. You guys got that picture of me just in the river with holding a big old... There, that's my baby. All right. That's a 26-inch trout. All right, so that's a big one. Okay. I remember I was there with the guide, and we have the sunglasses. And if you sometimes you have a certain type of sunglasses, polarized glasses, you can see through the water. And I remember we were sitting on the bank of the river, just right on the bend of where that picture is. And the guide was standing right over me, and he says... You know, and he's tapping me on the shoulder. Look, and we can see it. There's the fish. There she is. She's just sitting there. She's holding it, all right? And she's just, and he says, man, you've got one shot. You've got one shot, because if you put the fishing line over her head, she'll be spooked. If it's too far over, it's too far over. You've got to hit it right where it needs to be. It was about an 8-inch leeway of where I needed to put my little fly for that baby to catch it. But you know what? I had been practicing in my backyard. I had been casting and going back, and I've been working on that and letting it go. And so you know what? When it came time to cast, guess what? Well, by the picture, I got it. Right where it was at. You see, the Bible tells us, in Peter, go ahead and put it up on the overheads for us. In 1 Peter, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty. Go to verse number 7, because I'm going to go backwards. Go to verse number 7. Cast all your care upon him, for he who cares. Oh, I know that one, Pastor Luke. That's my favorite verse in the world. Cast my cares upon... But you know, the question is, how do we do that? How do we do, you know, because ultimately, there's too many Christians carrying their burdens around right now that they don't need to be carrying. So the Bible says cast their cares. Pastor Luke, cast your care. Cast your care. I'm going to take one of Stephen's papers. All right, Stephen, sorry if you needed that paper, bro. Cast your care. So what? This piece of paper is my problem. I just chuck it at Jesus. Good catch, Ryan. Almost. It doesn't work like that, right? Verse number 6 tells us how. Submit yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting your cares upon him who cares for you. You see, we can't just throw it away. We got to submit to God. You got to give your life to God. You got to wholly surrender over. And when, like Carrie Underwood, man, as cliche as her song has become, that's it. That was a funny video. Jesus take the wheel, and he comes out in the window and grabs the wheel. I've never seen that before. But that's exactly it. You see, you got to cast it out. You got to give it to God, because you know what? You carrying around all the weight, you carrying around all your issues, you carrying around all these problems in your life, that's not a representation of what Jesus wants for you. Because if I'm not mistaken, the book of John tells us in the 10th chapter, the 10th verse, that Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I remember there was a guy at the back door. I was shaking hands. He came by. We were telling everybody in the church service, man, you need to invite somebody to church. You need to tell somebody about Jesus. And he came by, and he shook my hand, and he says, man, Pastor Luke, I have invited like 800 people to church. I have told every person I know about Jesus. And nobody's ever responded. What do I do? And I'm like, dude, you're Eeyore. All right, you guys know what I'm talking about, Eeyore? I'm like, if you hit me up on the street, hey, man. Just want to tell you about Jesus. He's really cool. He'll change your life. Look what he's done for me. Who wants to be like that? I'm not jumping out of my skin saying, man, I can't wait to be like you. You see, I'm not telling you to go out there and be fake, because the world can see through fake in a minute. So I'm not telling you to get out there and be like, oh, Jesus. I'm not telling you that. But what I'm telling you is that we as Christians have got to stop carrying the burdens that we're not designed to carry. Jesus said, come to me, you are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy, and my yoke is light. My burden, I've misquoted that all over the place, man, whatever. Pastor Joey's like, amen, I love you. You see, the thing is I have two little babies. And my boy, he's my boy, Bjorn. You've probably seen him running around. He's a four-year-old boy. So four-year-old boys, guess what? Four-year-old boys have owies all day long. He's got stitches. He got stitches on Saturday. And he was a champ. I was like super proud of that. I'm like, you got stitches, bro. I mean, like, you got a legit scar. But little boys, little kids, when they got owies, they start talking about Bjorn's owie. We're like, let me see your owie. Let me see your owie. My little daughter, Emma, comes up. Daddy, I got owie too. I got an owie too. You see, in our society, we're a lot like that. We think that that's cute. We think that that's funny. But in our society, we're a lot like that too. Because you see somebody over here, man, they grew up and, man, their parents, you can't even believe what they went through. The drama that they went through, man, they went through the foster care system. Or they lived a hard life on the streets. And, man, I can't even relate to them. You know what? I got to try to relate. So I try to tell them my problems too. Well, you, man, I came up and I grew up in the hood of Yucaipa too. And I got this. And well, my daddy was a pastor and he was never home when I grew up, so I got problems too. And we want to carry our problems because everybody else in the world has problems and we want to fit in. But guess what? Jesus didn't call us as fishers of men to be people who fit in with the world. He said, I called you to stand out, which means that you got problems. Amen. All of us have problems, but you don't need to carry them anymore. And just like when it came to my fishing, you got to practice it. Start by trusting God. God, I give this to you. God, I release this to you. God, it's coming back at me. God, I'm going to do it again. God, I'm going to do it again. And as you practice, remember that old saying, practice makes perfect? You start giving your burdens to God. Guess what? Something starts to happen. It's like I said earlier. You could say this and you can say this and you can say this to try to disprove Christianity. You'll never take it from me. Why? Because I've experienced it. And when you give your burdens over to Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden you feel the weight off of your shoulders and say, you know what? It's not my responsibility to carry that burden any longer. You begin to experience Christianity in its best, and nobody can take you from that. And you become this, you go from being a fake person, you go from being this Eeyore to all of a sudden being this shining beacon of hope to a world that is dying and going to hell that needs a shining beacon of hope. And that is you. But it starts by casting your cares, by giving them over to God. Don't carry that stuff that you've been carrying anymore. The last thing that I learned when it came to fishing was so easy. Okay, so it was go prepared, cast your cares. Remember I said a rhyme because I was trying to make a rhyme. I really worked hard on this. Go prepared, cast your cares, don't despair. Go prepared, cast your cares, don't despair. I got this. This isn't the one I made. The one I made I gave to somebody because they were a cool person, so I gave it to them. But I got a net right here, all right? The net helps because, you know, when you're in the float tube or when you're in a river or when you got that fish, that is a cool picture, right? That's my Facebook picture right there. That's my, all right? When you got a big old fish or you got a fish, it's hard. They're slimy. They're slippery. What? You can't grab it, right? So you got a net. Put it in the net. Now the fish is in there. I got it. Take my picture, right? But you know what? I take this net all the time. It doesn't always see fish. There's an old cliche when it comes to fishing. I tell everybody that, oh, Pastor Luke, you need to take me fishing. You need to take me fishing. I tell them, before we start, listen, I just want you to know, if you caught a fish every time you went out, they wouldn't call it fishing. They would call it catching. Nice. I got a picture up here. My brother-in-law and I, we're up, and that's me in the garb. See, I'm white, all right? Like, okay? I'm not even white. I'm like see-through. I am a shining beacon, all right? Literally, like I glow, okay? I gave up on sunblock a long time ago, so when I go out there, I mean, people are freaking out. They think I'm going to rob a bank because I got this little thing that goes over my nose. It's called a buff. I wear a hat. I wear a long-sleeve shirt. Then I wear gloves over my fingers. So the only thing that is exposed to the world are my fingernails. All right, so my brother-in-law, we were up there, and this was an early season report. We met a guy up there. We drove 8 hours to go fishing. And then we got up to this. This was up in Yosemite, up in the high country, Yosemite. We were so excited. I mean, you look at that. That's a pretty little river. The scenery is amazing. We were going after this special type of trout called a golden trout. I mean, it's like, it's a hard one. All right, you got to get it. It's up high, up like above 10,000 feet. We hiked in to this little, I mean, we're hiking in the snow. We got all of our gear on, all of our garb on. 8 hours of driving, an hour and a half of hiking, and guess what? Didn't catch anything. Didn't catch anything. So you know what? I broke my fishing pole, broke my net, said, I'm never going fishing again because I didn't catch a fish. No, I didn't do that. That's just a part of the game. Sometimes you catch fish, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you catch big ones, sometimes you catch ones and they wiggle around for a little bit and they get off. Sometimes you just catch a little insignificant. It doesn't matter. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. And you see, as Christians, What we think is we come and we say, well, I'm going to share Jesus. And Jesus is undeniable. He's irresistible. Why? Because he changed my life. And so when I tell somebody about the one that changed my life, there'll be absolutely no chance in the world, no statistical way that they'll reject what I have to say. And then you tell somebody, you share it, you let them know that God loves them, and they scoff at you. Are you kidding? This guy changed my life and you scoff at me. You make fun of me. You call me weird. So what do? Christianity, in the analogy, we take our fishing pole and we break it. We take our net and we throw it in the trash can. I'll never do that again. Why? Because I experienced rejection. Because they didn't listen. Because I didn't catch. Man, Pastor Luke, I invited somebody and they said no. I'm never going to do that again. Don't despair. Because if you caught a fish every time you went fishing, they'd call it catching, not fishing. Your job is to get out there and tell the world about the Jesus Christ that changed your life. To tell the world about the man, God in the flesh, wrapped up in humanity, that came and he died for your sins to restore you to the position of righteousness in him. That's your job. Jesus told his disciples, he sent them out. He says, go and tell them the things that I've told you. And he says, you go, and when somebody receives you, put it up on the overhead. He says, when somebody receives you, hey, hang out with them. If they don't, if they do not listen, when you depart from that house, shake the dust from your feet. Sometimes you got to take that rejection. Sometimes you got to take that no. Take that scoff. Take that persecution. Take that somebody teasing at you. And shake the dust from your feet like they say, get up. Wipe the dust off and keep on going. Why? Because if you caught a fish every time, they'd call it catching. But Jesus says, I'll make you fishers. Your job is to cast the net. Your job is to let the Word and the Holy Spirit do its job. Listen, can I tell you something, guys? You don't save anybody. I don't save anybody. I have prayed the prayer with people. I have watched their lives change. I don't save anybody. I'm a man. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm like Paul the Apostle says, the chief of all sinners. I got issues, but guess what? Jesus carries them. But I don't save anybody. Jesus saves. My job is to tell the world about Jesus. I remember I was up there on a fishing trip with some buddies hanging around a fire. And I'll tell you what, these buddies, I know them outside of church. These are not Christian men. Like, at all. Like, they don't even care. You know, sometimes you're like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, you meet people like, oh yeah, I go to church. I went to church last year. I'm a Christian. You know what I'm talking about? Right? These are not even like that, right? These are just like, what? Jesus? No, dude, come on. Like, so I'm sitting around a campfire and these guys are drinking their Jack and Coke. They're getting drunk around the campfire. One guy goes to bed, another guy, and I'm just sitting there. I'm not a pastor at the time, but I'm the guy that's making a stand. They're asking me, hey man, come on, drink. Have a beer, man. Try it, dude. You like Coke? Just throw a little bit of Jack in there. See what it's like. I'm like, no, dude. I don't do that. I don't do that stuff. 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 All night long, I don't do that stuff. I don't do that stuff. I don't do that stuff, man. No, it's all good. I'll sit here and I'm going to make fun of you in my head because you're all looking stupid getting drunk, but I don't do that. And then one of the guys starts asking me, man, what's up with all this Jesus stuff? I start talking about Jesus. I start talking about my life. I start talking about what Jesus has done for me. About how I felt fulfillment in my life, that it's not about popularity, that it's not about all these different things, it's not about filling my life with all these hobbies and all these reasons to live. Jesus is my reason to live. And he starts saying, well, you know what? I asked him, I said, what do you think? You think you're going to go to heaven? We started talking about that. You think you're going to go to heaven? He says, well, you know, I hope I'll go to heaven. I'm like, man, you can't. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible? Let me see. I'm pulled like this. I was like, did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that you can hope, think, wish, or want your way in heaven? Well, but Pastor Luke, my parents had me baptized when I was a baby. I'm like, did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that your parents baptized you? I kid you not. Everything that we go through, if it's your first time here, I don't know if we did that. If it's your first time here, you'll hear it in a minute. But if you've been at the Rock, you know, man, we go through this thing we call an altar call. He went through every reason why he thought he was a Christian. And it was exactly word for word what we do at the church. And I was like, boom, I'm prepared, baby. I've been hearing this all my life. Man, there's nowhere in the Bible that says this, nowhere in the Bible. Just because you're a good person. You know the Bible says that according to our righteousness, God says that that's like filthy rags. No, man, I didn't know that. I get to the point, man, the Bible says, Jesus says that you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And I ask him, hey, man, what do you think? He's like, nah, dude, it's not for me. And I'm like, it's supposed to work. I said everything that I was supposed to say. He was supposed to say yes. And I was supposed to lead him to Jesus at the campfire. And I was going to call my wife and be like, baby, I led somebody to Jesus. And he said no. And he said no. And you know what? Okay. Picked myself up. I went and slept in my own tent because they all smelled like alcohol and beans. And I slept in my own little tent. All right. It was like Sodom and Gomorrah over there and Jerusalem in my little tent. Okay. I went and slept in my tent. It was amazing. About 2 months later, he called me. He says, man, I just got to tell you something. He says, what you said to me that day, I haven't been able to shake it. And he lived in Riverside. He says, you know what, man? I went down to Harvest. I'm like, bro, why couldn't you come to The Rock? But anyways, Harvest is great. We love Greg Laurie. He says, man, I walked into that church and I just couldn't stop crying. I just couldn't stop crying. And he says, I just want you to know that I gave my heart to the Lord. And I was just like, for real? And I kept in loose communication with him over the time. Like, he went his way and I went my way. And I tried to text him one time, and I guess I lost his phone number because he never texted me back. And out of the blue, out of nowhere, a couple of months ago, this is now 4 or 5 years later, out of the blue, out of nowhere, he texts me and says, hey, man, I just want to thank you for sharing Jesus to me. He says, I just want you to know I moved up and I'm up in Ukiah now and I go to this church up there and I'm in training to be a leader at my church, to become a deacon. I'm married. I have a baby. All because on that campfire, I told him about Jesus. I don't save. You don't save. They may say no, but you plant the seed. Paul the Apostle tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, Paul says, listen, I don't preach myself. I preach Jesus, myself, a bondservant, a servant to Jesus. But my message isn't me. Church isn't my platform. I'm not here in this building to become somebody. I'm here in this building to become equipped to tell somebody about Jesus. You see, we get so wrapped up in, well, if I do this and if I do that, if I become this and I become that, I want to have an image. It's not about that. You don't save. The sooner you can get that in your head, the better it becomes for you. Why? Because it's not about you. It's about you telling somebody about Jesus because you're here for him. They need to hear so that when they come for him. Because ultimately, the only thing that will change this world, the only thing that will change this country, the only thing that will fix your friends' problems, the only thing that will fix this nation and this world's issues is somebody that is willing to get out there and to do what Jesus called them to do. The first thing Jesus says to his disciples and the last thing he says to them is, I will make you fishers of men. Jesus, the very first conversation he says is, follow me and you'll win souls. The very last thing that Jesus says is, get out there and win souls. You see, church, we got to go prepared to know what God's done in your life. Why? Because you're a shining beacon. To cast your care, stop carrying that stuff around. Pastor Luke, what do I do to carry that stuff around? How do I get rid of it? It's so simple. Start it. Start small. Practice. Just like with my little fly rod scaring everybody. Oh, my God. You got to practice. It doesn't come naturally. I couldn't do that on the first time I did it. It takes a little bit of practice. Give to God something. God, take this. Give to God something. God, take this. God, I need you to take this. God, I need you to take this. I submit. I will let you have it. Cast your cares and don't despair. Jesus says, greater is he who is in the world greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You've got the greatest thing on earth going for you, Jesus. And we got to share it. Can't keep it in. Pastor Joe talked about the statistics, the Barna results. 60% of Americans, I think it was 60% of Americans, share their faith. And only of that, 30-something percent of them invited somebody to church within the last, like you bring the statistic down and it's like 35% of Americans tell somebody about Jesus. In church, it shouldn't be that way. And I don't want to get up on my soapbox and talk about how things should be. Jesus said it already. It should be 100% statistic. Because we're not here to be cool. We're not here to be a social club. We're not here to gather and look cool and hear some music and have fun. I mean, we're here because Jesus changed our lives. And we come and we get the Word of God on the inside of us so that we can take it to a world that needs to hear it. So that we can shine a light to the darkness of this world. So that they would see an example of what life really is. And that comes from us going, being prepared by carrying the Word and the Holy Spirit, by casting our cares and giving them to Jesus Christ. You are not designed. You were not created. You were not formed out of the heart and out of the eyes of God to carry the burdens and the drama and the crap you carry. Jesus took that. You just got to give it to Him. And don't despair when they scoff at you, when they say no, because you never know the seed that is planted because you did your job. Jesus said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Let's pray together. Father, we just come before you, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity. Lord, I just pray, if anything, that this would just be an inspiration for us tonight. God, that you would just speak to your people, speak to your church, speak to the house tonight. Lord, of somebody that we know that we might go and share the gospel with, that we might just let them know that Jesus loves them. Lord, I pray that you would inspire us through your Holy Spirit as that we go and study and we go and spend time with you, Lord, that you would prepare us in our hearts to go out there to do what you've called us and equipped us to do. For those of us who are in this place, that we're carrying burdens, we're carrying drama, we're carrying issues that we should not be carrying. Lord, teach us, show us in our hearts what we can do to cast them to you. Give us the strength to trust you with our issues because, Lord, ultimately they go to you. And Father, I pray that you would give us the strength that when the world scoffs, when they tease and when they mock and when they scorn and when they say no and then they reject, Lord, that we wouldn't take that personally. But Lord, if they rejected you, we as servants are destined to face what you have faced. Lord, they will ultimately reject us, but all we can do is share your love and plant the seed. Lord, I pray for fruit. I pray for a harvest. As Jesus saw the people coming, Lord, you said, look, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Lord, there are laborers in this house today. Send your people opportunities to witness, to share the love of Jesus Christ, for somebody to see and to know how important Jesus is. And Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Amen. Listen, before we leave today, I don't know everybody in this place. It used to be that I knew a lot of y'all, but when you take like 4 months off, man, I see a lot of new faces, and that's awesome. It would be terrible for us to leave under the pretense, under the assumption that everybody in this place, you're all right. We're talking about Jesus changing your life, and you're sitting there thinking, man, I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't quite felt that. And I want to just ask you a question. You see, the Bible tells us that we ought to examine ourselves, to judge ourselves from time to time. We got to look into our own hearts and say, where am I at? So I just want you to take a moment, look into your own heart for a moment. Just ask yourself, where am I? Where do I stand with God? A really good way to determine that is to ask this question.